ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I hope it's something you've seen in my life that I don't just talk the talk, but I walk the walk, that I'm leading people by example. And when I first came up here, and I have to admit I was a little frustrated at first because more people weren't involved in ministry. And what the Lord showed me, and He was patient with me, was let people see my love for the Lord and let them catch what I have. This love for God and serving His people, be an example. And that's all I do. I hope that's all I do. I hope I don't drive anyone or beat anyone or push anyone into a ministry or into doing something they don't want to do. Hopefully I'm leading you, living what I say I believe. So this first principle we see here in regard to spiritual leadership is spiritual leaders' task is to move people from where they are to where God wants them to be. That's what Joshua is going to do. The second principle in regard to spiritual leadership is spiritual leaders need to depend on the Holy Spirit. And that should make sense. You know, we got to be in the Word of God, but we're not leading by what we feel is right because our feelings can get us in trouble. We lead by the guiding of the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you over the years the wisdom God has given me over the situations I have faced. Difficult problems within the church. Difficult problems, family situations. And God has given me tremendous wisdom on how to deal with it. The words to say or sometimes not to say, to step back and wait. And I look back and I go, man, Lord, that was perfect. But you remember what James says, if any of you lack wisdom, you need to ask of God. And He'll give you that wisdom you need in the situations you face. Now, the problem for us is we want it immediately, right? Okay, God, right now. Sometimes it doesn't happen like that. God says, no, I want you to wait. Don't say anything. Don't do anything. And we need to listen. Spiritual leaders are not only responsible for moving the people of God to a place God wants them, but he has to be guided by the Holy Spirit when he's doing it, not just his feelings or emotions or ideas. I remember years ago when I was at Calvary Chapel of Elk Grove in Illinois, my pastor, Pastor Phil, who I love dearly, has taught me so much. We had a situation where it was a great time of worship. Awesome time of worship. This is so awesome. And right in the middle of worship, someone stood up, this woman, and spoke in tongues and gave this interpretation, which was not correct anyway. But anyway, she said, my little children, you're not worshiping me in spirit and truth. And immediately at that point, the worship was dead. Our focus was upon this person. We weren't worshiping God anymore. We were looking at this person. We, as the elders came, we took her outside of the sanctuary to talk with her. And there was a huge conflict within the church then after that. Some of the people said it was the right thing to do. Some of the people said, oh, you're just quenching the spirit. And I thought that was really interesting. Because again, I just felt, wow, that was one of the times, man, the worship was just so awesome. We're just worshiping God, focusing on Him, and then it was dead. No longer. And so my pastor had to have a church meeting because it was that bad. And this is what he spoke a lot and it was just perfect. But this is one of the things he said. He said, look, if you have a problem with what I've done, you don't think I'm hearing from God anymore, then why are you here? What a great question, right? If you're here complaining because you don't think I'm hearing from God, why are you here? And that was pretty much the end of that one. it was a realization. It was kind of like one of those V8 moments, you know? Oh, yeah, I should have had a V8. And everyone thought, yeah, those that were struggling with this issue. You know, it is so important that we are sensitive to the Spirit's leading. And I totally believe my pastor was at that time. And over the last year or so with some of the things that came into the church, I know the wisdom that God has given me in the situations that I have faced. It's incredible. And I'm not going to go over all the details because I don't need to. But I can tell you, wow, I didn't do that on my own because there is no way. Thank you, Lord, for showing me what I needed to say, the things I needed to do, and then confirming it through others that what I did was 100% correct. Don't allow false teaching in a church at all. Just a little. Because again, if you think about it, what if I said, hey, there's just a little bit of poison in the coffee? Barry's coughing over here. Yeah. That would be horrible. Yeah, no. There isn't anyway, but you know what I mean. There's just a little bit of poison in the teaching in the church. Just a little. No, not at all. And I'm responsible. And I have to lead the people accordingly by the Word of God through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You need to follow the Lord according to His Word opened up to you by the Spirit of God. In fact, Jesus said in John 16:13, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Isn't that interesting? The Holy Spirit is not going to speak on His own authority. What is He going to speak? He'll speak the truths of God, from the Word of God, because He is God. Why would God go contrary to His Word? He wouldn't. And so as leaders, we need to lead according to the Word of God, open up to us by the Spirit of God, and listen to what the Spirit is telling us. Spiritual leaders depend on the Holy Spirit. The third principle here is spiritual leaders are accountable to God. And that's a huge one. I don't take that one lightly. That's why I do the things that I do. People think, oh, you know, you're just on your own. No, I'm not. I'm accountable to God. And I'll tell you what, I fear God more than I fear you guys. I fear Him. Not because I'm terrified He's going to strike me dead. He could, but no, I'm not. I fear Him because I reverence Him. I know who He is, and I know what He's called me to do. And I think if we understood that, it would cause us to walk more accurately than we do many times. We need to be careful where we're leading people. And, you know, ignoring problems, not a good thing. I've seen that over the years. You know, people don't want to hurt friendships. They don't want to cause trouble. You know, they don't want to rock the boat, baby. Feel like a song coming on. But it's wrong. It's wrong logic. I know some of you go, please, Lord, don't let them go down that path, but too late. Are we letting the fear of man drive us or the fear of God lead us? That's a huge one. You know, Paul warned Timothy. Now, Paul was a tough guy. I mean, we've been through, you know, the book of Acts. Paul's a tough guy, wasn't he? Timothy was more timid, I think. I don't think Timothy was a real tough guy. And at the end of Paul's life, when he knows he's going to be put to death, he's in jail in Rome, in prison. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 5, he told Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, because the time's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they're going to heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. He didn't say, but you, Timothy, cower in fear. Hide yourself. No. Stand strong in what God has called you to do. Speak the truth. Some will be convinced by what you're saying. Some will be rebuked. Others are going to be exhorted in the faith. Don't give up in guiding people with the Word of God. And yeah, there are times when they don't want to hear it. There'll be times when they're going to look for teachers who will teach them what they want to hear and not what God's Word has to say, but don't let that sway you. It's going to be tough. People are going to come against you, afflict you, but you fulfill the ministry God has given to you. Lead the people correctly. I don't know why people do this, but like they'll come up to me and try and get me to condone the things that they're doing that are unbiblical. I think they want my blessing, which, you know, that and $1.25 will get you a cup of coffee today. It's meaningless. How can I condone your sin? But I've had that people do that. And when I refuse to do it, they're not happy with me. And they, you know, try to justify their actions to get me to bless them by saying, you know, God has given them some kind of special dispensation to do something that is against what He has said already. But how does God go against His own word? That doesn't make any sense. And I'll give you an example. So, you know, I'm not picking on anyone in particular. And praise God, my wife's not here today. She's in Green Lake teaching. So don't tell her the story. No, she already knows. You know, when I got married to Julie, she was a Christian and I wasn't. I wasn't even close, believe me. But here's the funny thing. She convinced herself that I was such a nice guy that I was a Christian and just didn't know it. Well, that's a tough one. You know, she couldn't really logically get that through in her mind. So she thought that God was allowing her, giving her the special dispensation to marry me, even though I was not a Christian, to be unequally yoked. That was not of God, obviously. And I'll tell you, for a few years, we didn't go to church at all. I was hindering her spiritual walk, her spiritual growth, because I was going in one direction away from God. And she wanted to go in another direction towards God, but I was hindering that. You know, it's like being unequally yoked. You've got this big oxen over here, and you've got, you know, a pug dog yoked with it. How is that going to work? It's not. Well, that's a bad example, because the pug's not going to pull the oxen, is he? But think about another bigger creature, unequally yoked and going in two different directions. It doesn't work. And God was gracious to my wife because I did come to know the Lord. But most of the time, that doesn't happen. Julie was accountable to God for her actions, and she loved the loves the Lord. She still loves the Lord with all of her heart. And she is a wonderful encouragement to me, but we have to be careful that we don't go down those paths that are wrong or lead people away from God by our actions, our words, our conduct, because we're accountable to God. And Julie doesn't tell that story too often because she doesn't want to encourage people, hey, look, it happened okay for me. It could happen okay for you. No. Like I said, most of the time, it doesn't happen that way. And you need to be careful. As teachers, we're accountable to God. As leaders, we're accountable to God. That's what James said, James 3:1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. You may be thinking, hey, I'm not a teacher. Well, if you're sharing with people, giving them advice, it better be according to God's word and not just your feelings because you're accountable to God. It better not be, well, I don't want to offend anyone, so I don't want to say anything that is going to offend this person, so I'll just agree with them. Not at all. You love them and you share what's right, what God's word has to say. So the third principle, spiritual leaders are accountable to God. Remember that. And the fourth principle, spiritual leaders can influence all people, not just God's people. And that should just make sense. You know, I'm not saying that by our actions, everyone's going to praise us for what we're doing. But we should influence people by what we do, what we say. You know, many of you have known I've been a registered nurse in the ICU. I was for some almost 30 years or so. And I worked with mostly women. And sometimes their jokes were not good. And I'm not saying that guys don't tell bad jokes. They do. That they tell bad jokes just as well. But women can be pretty bad too. What was interesting to me is that after they got to know me, after they got to know who I was, if they were going to tell a joke that was off color, you might say that was dirty, they would warn me, say, Joe, this joke's probably not for you, as they were going to tell it in a crowd. Or they would say, they wouldn't tell it at all because I was around them. I found that interesting. Jesus said in Matthew 5, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, our actions, our words should have a positive influence upon people. We should be that preserving force when people are around us so that conversations don't deteriorate into the pit. We should be a light to show people the way to God. Our lights, our words and actions should encourage people. I mean, that was this whole thing with this whole Wendigo Fest, which is this evil thing they have downtown this past Friday and Saturday. We were there for one reason, to be a light, to give people hope, to show them the love of God. And I'll tell you, there were some, right, Carl, amazing costumes. And some of these people, long before the parade even started, were wearing some amazing, amazing costumes. And we didn't go say, hell, you're going to hell. Look at that. That's demonic. What we shared with them, hey, look, have you heard of Jesus? We shared the gospel with them, shared a gospel track, just started talking with them. We had this one guy who was going to be in the parade, Edward Scissorhands. I really wanted to see that. That must have been an amazing costume. But we shared the gospel track with him. And he took it. And didn't throw it on the ground. He put it in his pocket. We're to be salt and light in this world. Leading people who know God into a deeper relationship with God. People who don't know God to the true and living God. You know, these 2.5 tribes gave Joshua this encouragement. Only be strong and of good courage. Yeah, we need encouragement, don't we? I don't know about you, but Carl encouraged me. Hopefully I encouraged him over this weekend. It was awesome seeing what God was doing. And you know, maybe these 2.5 tribes and the others saw Joshua was a little anxious. I think he was. And they're trying to encourage him. Don't be fearful. God's with you, man. We're with you. Turn just for a second to Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 4, you know, they're back in the land after the captivity. And look at this godly leadership. In Nehemiah chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 10 through 23. We're told this, then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. Wow, that's pretty discouraging, right? So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Oh my gosh, that's horrible. Therefore, Nehemiah positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their counsel to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. And every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. And the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. And then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Therefore, wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day. So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off their clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. Wow, the enemy was discouraging the work of Nehemiah and the people. But Nehemiah, their leader, said, hey, you know what? Keep your eyes on the Lord. Yeah, the work's difficult, but we're going to work together, and our God is on our side. If anyone's in trouble, let us know. We'll come to your aid. Do you know what we call that today? A fictional story. It doesn't happen in the church. Everyone's doing their own thing. But we're the body of Christ. We're to work together. Think about the human body. You cut yourself, what happens? A boatload of things happen. You've got cells, you got things in your body that work to clot that blood so you don't bleed to death. But what about infection? You got white blood cells. Guys, we got to get over there. There's a cut. There's bacteria that's out there. We got to prevent an infection from happening. All kinds of things are taking place for the betterment of the body. And that's what we do. We work together for the betterment of the body of Christ. And I have to tell you, here at Calvary Chapel, I am so blessed. Not a perfect body, because there's no perfect body out there, but we work together for the glory of God. We edify the body of Christ here. We're not interested in our own interest, but the interest of others. We care for people, like Paul said in Philippians. If there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Put on the mind of Christ. Be other-centered. Walk by faith, that Spirit-filled life. And so this fourth principle we see in regard to spiritual leadership, spiritual leaders can influence all people, not just God's people. And we should influence people. Theodore Roosevelt said, the leader leads and the boss drives. We need to lead people in the things of God, influencing each other in the things of God. Paul said in Hebrews 10, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We exhort people. We encourage people. How wonderful that is. So this morning, these four principles are pretty simple in regards to spiritual leadership. The spiritual leader's task is to move people from where they are to where God wants them to be. Spiritual leaders depend on the Holy Spirit. Spiritual leaders are accountable to God. And spiritual leaders can influence all people, not just God's people. And I'll close with this. It was something that Stuart Briscoe wrote. He said, one of my young colleagues was officiating at the funeral of a war veteran. The dead man's military friends wished to have a part in the service at the funeral home. So they requested that the pastor lead them down to the casket, stand with them for a solemn moment of remembrance, and then lead them out the door that's on the side there. And he proceeded to do this. But unfortunately, the effect was a little bit marred when he picked the wrong door. The result was they marched with military precision into a broom closet in full view of everyone. And they had to make a hasty retreat in confusion. And the story just illustrates a cardinal rule or two. If you're going to lead, make sure you know where you're going. And secondly, if you're going to follow, make sure that you are following someone who knows what he is doing. Make sense? I hope so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the godly leadership principles you have given to us in your word. And I'm sure there's others out there in your word, but these are pretty basic and pretty important. And I pray that each of us would apply them to our lives and we'd lead people correctly in honor of you and fear of you and not be driven by man. We love you so much, Lord, and we thank you for your word this morning. And again, Lord, help us to apply these things to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us? On God's word, come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.